Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Let me paint, set the stage.
Can you set it up? You're so worked up over this. Chris's panties are in a bunch. This.
Yes, they are. They are. And it's quite uncomfortable. All right, anyway, James Harden, as you all know, is going back to Houston tonight to play his first game in Houston and, actually, I believe, against the Rockets, period, since he forced the trade. And we know how it went down. He said in the summer, after in the offseason, he asked them to move him. He wanted to move on. They, didn't do it. And he went out balling. I mean, first game, 44. Next game, 34, 33, something like that. Was killing it. And, the Rockets are thinking, oh, he can want to trade all he wants. If he's going to play like this, we aren't moving him.
Right. So why would we do anything? Right.
Right. He's going to be Mr. Nice Guy. He's cool. He's, getting along with his teammates. All right. And then he said, okay, I got to turn it up a notch. And he dogged it. Now, Rob, dogging it for him was 17 points and 10 assists, I think, a game.
And, Chris, let's just be honest. At the very end, too, he looked like he was wearing a fat suit. He might have had on a fat suit underneath.
He might have had one because it was like as he got traded to Brooklyn, he lost 20 pounds.
Right.
Maybe he had him give him some extra small uniforms.
But didn't he look fat? Nah, I mean, I remember watching. He looked fat.
He don't look the slimmest now either.
No.
But the other night, and I was like, man, you would never look at this dude and think he's as good as he is.
No, you know what? He looks like if he was in a barbershop, he could be a barber cutting your hair. Like, seriously, right. Not an athlete.
You know who he looks like to me? He always reminds me of, did you see Uptown Saturday Night? Of course, it's classic, right?
But did I see it?
I lived it. Was this Uptown Saturday? Lived it.
You know what I mean? I remember that as a kid.
I think it was Uptown Saturday Night when Bill Cosby played the character just for one scene. What was his name? Mondo Slade or something. We had the orange zoot suit on or whatever, and had the huge beard. But that's who Harden reminds me of. But anyway, so that's the situation. So now he's come. He dogged it for about five games. They trade. Then he says, at the press conference, we just don't have enough to win. I'm ready to go. And then they trade him pronto to Brooklyn. And Brooklyn's playing like the best team in the league. The Rockets, meanwhile, are on a 12-game losing streak. And that's the stage, right? And the owner of the Rockets, Tillman Fertitta, came out yesterday, obviously with Harden on his way back to Houston. And he says, I don't know if he was asked the question or what, but he said, we're going to retire James Harden's number one day. So that's the stage. Take it away.
Ask me again, Chris. What did you say? Ask me. If I was the owner of the Houston Rockets, what?
If you were the owner, do you have a problem with Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Houston Rockets?
No. I want you to ask me the other way. That if I was the owner.
If you were the owner of the Houston Rockets, would you retire James Harden's jersey?
No way. No how. With my teeth clean. Right. No.
The question was not, will you retire his jersey tonight?
No. I'm talking about ever. Oh my God. Stop it. All right? Is this on? The Houston Rockets, what have you turned into? You've turned to goo. You've allowed this guy to trample all over you. It's not like James Harden's legacy in Houston is like he put up two banners. You know what he did? He put up a lot of points, and he disappointed you year after year after year after year in the postseason. James Harden's existence in Houston was empty, was hollow. All right. He put up numbers. It didn't amount to anything. There's no reason. That franchise has already won championships. It's not like you're some mamby-tamby organization where you never won anything and he's the only guy who was halfway decent. No, you've got champions who play for that organization. And then, on top of it, he wanted out. He told you, screw you, Houston. I don't want to be here. You smell that? That's you, not me. You guys stink. I'm not putting that guy's jersey up in my building. Thank you for your time. We paid you $40 million. Go to Brooklyn. Have a nice NBA career. But there's no way I'm hanging your jersey from the Raptors. Raptors.
I want to know this because get it all out. You know how you feel it. You had a rough night and you ate something and you know you find yourself kneeling down in front of the toilet. And you want to get it all out. Go ahead, get it all out, Rob Parker. Is that it? Because I'm about to, as our friend Skip Bayless would say, unleash. Are you done?
I'm done. I made my case. I'm not doing
Parker,
it.
Parker, you are out of your mind. You are out of your mind. I get it. If Tillman Fertitta has just said, you know what? We're going to welcome James back, and we're going to retire his jersey tonight, then I would be fully with you. That would be absolutely ridiculous. But to sit here and say that the Houston Rockets should never retire James Harden's jersey? Are you kidding me? Let me just, how many ways should I just denounce this? Number one, let me go this route. First of all, James Harden is not alone in demanding a trade. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar forced his way out of Milwaukee. He demanded a trade to the Lakers. And guess whose jersey is hanging in the rafters of the Milwaukee Bucks Fiserv Arena or whatever it's called? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Charles Barkley forced his way out of Philadelphia with the 76ers. And he played fewer years there than Harden played with the Rockets. And guess whose jersey is hanging up in Philadelphia? I was going to say the Spectrum. No, Charles Barkley's. So that's number one. Demanding a trade should not mean you're disqualified from your jersey being retired.
It ain't just demand. Charles Barkley was long in the tooth trying to win a championship, and he moved on.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, Chris.
Remember,
Chris.
He went to Phoenix, Rob. He went to Phoenix before.
My point is, he wasn't unprofessional and forced his way out by coming back and basically saying at a press conference, because you could play me the tape, where Charles Barkley sat there and said, my teammates stink, we got nothing going here, and I don't want to be here. And that's a guy you cannot hang up. No, there is a difference.
He spit on a fan.
But that had nothing to do with it. He just had extra saliva in his mouth that day. That's all that was. That had nothing to do with.
No way.
Alex, like, nothing?
Alex, hello? He essentially said that. He said, I can't win with these dudes.
He didn't do that, Chris. There's a big difference on how
closed doors.
On how you exit.
It's a big difference. It's all about intention. It's all about intention. So that's my number one thing. Secondly, to belittle James Harden's career in Houston, to say it was not, what phrase did you use? It amounted to nothing, or
it was hollow.
Like hollow.
He just put up points.
Me?
They never won anything. He had he was a great player. They couldn't even
he
get.
He was
to
an all-time great player.
Chris.
Rob?
When did they get to? Were they in the conference finals? What, one time
in
9 years?
Yeah, they were in the conference finals.
All right, so let me tell you this.
I think twice.
I thought it was once with James Harden.
Check that out, because they got there when they came back down 3-1 to the Clippers, and then they got routed by Golden State. But check that out, Rob G, I think. But here's the thing, Rob. James Harden wasn't just, he was good. He was pretty all-star in Houston. No! James Harden had people saying he's the greatest offensive player of all time. Really. And not just Daryl Morey. I don't agree with that sentiment, but that's how good he was. James Harden became like an all-time great player.
Let
Houston.
The Brooklyn Nets retire his number when he helps him win a championship.
They will, all but right. It's not just championship. Calvin Murphy's number is retired. Does he have any rings? He made one all-star team. All respect to Calvin Murphy because he's a Hall of Famer and all that.
Why are you ripping on him, Chris?
He made one all-star team, Rob. Rudy Tomjanovich's number is retired. Yao Ming's number is retired. I'm sorry, those dudes can't hold a candle to James Harden, Rob. And look, you notice he took the Golden State Warriors, who were phenomenal, who routed LeBron and the Cavs in the finals. He took them to 7. He had them down 3-2. And I get it. He didn't close the deal. He lost his second best player, Chris Paul, but he didn't close the deal. I get it. But to act like, I mean, that team was great. They just ran into an all-time juggernaut. And then the next year, yeah, when Durant went down, they didn't close it. But that team, even without Durant, had won a championship and 73 games. So it's not like he was you losing series they were supposed to win. Man, James Harden was so good in Houston. I think, Rob, and this is tough, because I love Moses Malone. I don't think Moses Malone gets enough love historically. Now, you know, those that know, right? Top 10 center of all time, no question. But, Rob, I think James Harden was the second best player in Rockets history. Behind Hakeem Olajuwon. How in the world do you not retire his number?
Because of the way he exited, the way he threw a torch on the franchise on his way out. He could have been professional. He could have done it in a different way, which would make you feel better about it. Chris, the way you leave places is just like that. You know this when the business we're in. If they don't renew your contract or something happens, how you handle yourself on the way out is how people will perceive you and whether or not you could ever come back or whether they would welcome you back. And the way he did it, I'm not saying that he's the worst person in the world. I'm just not retiring his number. Let the Brooklyn Nets do it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Interesting development with the G League, which we know is that league the NBA created. Now it's their like minor league, and they're getting high school players to go there
away
rather
money.
Than college. Yes.
Right.
Well, they got
giving
two guys
money.
This year, Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga, both making about $500,000 this year to play in the G League. And they are both expected to be high lottery picks. Now, here's what I want to throw out at you. Imani Bates, all right, he's the top-rated recruit in the class of 2022. Rob, they've been comparing this kid to Kevin Durant since he was in the eighth grade. There are some people that say he would have been the number one pick last year. That's how good this kid is. And he's been committed to Michigan State.
Have you seen him at all or not?
I've not seen him. I've not seen him. Yeah. He's been committed to Michigan State and your boy Tom Izzo, right? But now it's open now that he might take a deal from the G League. It's not definite, but he might take a deal from the G League. And the talk is that it could be the biggest offer yet from the G League. So could it be a million? Could it be 750,000? Whatever. But anyway, is anybody making a million yet, Rob G? Check that out.
I don't think so, Rob
okay,
G,
so,
right?
So that would be a million. Okay. Here's what I want to throw out to you, Rob. Look at LaMelo Ball. Early leader for Rookie of the Year. Looks like a superstar. Didn't spend a minute on a college campus. Ben Simmons, great player, perennial all-star at this point. Played half a season for LSU. Didn't even make the tournament. Remember that?
Right.
And it's been several other players that didn't play in the, you know, that have become good in NBA players, didn't play in the NCAA tournament. Kyrie played 11 games at Duke. I think, Rob, college is this a death knell? We talked about the death knell for college basketball.
Do you remember? I said, I told you college
what
basketball.
What was that again? What was it? I can't remember exactly what. That was when Jalen Johnson left Duke to go early. Yeah, right. I think this is just further evidence. And I'll give you my quick take, and then I want to hear from you. Rob, college basketball is not, it's just not even close. We all know it's not what it used to be. It's not even a fraction of what it used to be. I don't think that many people are paying attention. Okay? I just don't. NBA is huge now. You know, like college used to be able to rival the NBA. We're talking about when you and I were kids. But it's even once the NBA
because
still
we
got
saw
big
Magic,
with Jordan.
We got to remember, we saw Magic and Bird play in the NCAA championship against each other, Chris.
Right.
I mean, I remember the magnitude of that game. Right? You're a little younger than I am.
No, but I remember.
You remember that, right?
I was living in Indiana at the time.
It was huge. It was as big as you could get for two guys to be on two, you know, playing in the NCAA championship and both big-time stars going to the NBA. It was tremendous. You don't have that anymore.
And even before that, college basketball was huge on Saturdays, right? And then even through the 80s and 90s and all early 90s and stuff, college basketball was huge. And now, Rob, I follow it somewhat. Obviously, it's our job, but it's not even on the radar, I don't think. And the argument has been, well, these kids, you know, at the very least, we know they're not getting an education, so nobody even argues that anymore. But at the very least, they get this free publicity, and they become, you know,
they don't
Zion
need it,
was
Chris.
A star.
They don't
That's
need
the
it.
Thing. LaMelo was a superstar. And he didn't play a second of college basketball.
And he didn't even have to play any big-time competition. He didn't. With social media and everybody's got a camera in their hands, Chris, they could videotape him, a play, a dunk. Everybody can see it. It ain't the same. You don't have to go to Duke or North Carolina to be recognized or identified by a scout. They could be looking at video that somebody could be taking a friend or a father or somebody, Chris, or a coach, and
video. I mean, the top high school kids put out their videos on YouTube, their highlights, and people knew about Zion before Duke. Now, granted, Duke lifted his profile, but people knew about him before
that. He didn't
have
to go to Duke.
I'll say this, Rob. If he had gone to the G League and he was dunking on people and doing all the things he did at Duke, it would have become a story. You know what I'm saying? Like, I honestly, maybe they would have put a game or two on ESPN or something. Like,
maybe.
It would have become a huge story. And I do think, look, and you know what? As much as I've loved college basketball in the past, this is a comeuppance for college basketball because they have been getting away with these kids not getting paid and the free labor. And I get it, and I'm not going to belittle an education because a college education is great, all right? That helps you and me,
but not for
obviously.
The money that they're making, Chris.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Let's keep it real. Most of them are leaving after – the real good ones are leaving after a year, maybe two. And if they don't make it in the NBA, they'll have enough money from that one contract to go back to school if they want. You know, and so it's just not – These kids have been getting away with making millions and billions off these kids, and now it looks like it's about to stop. And part of it too, right? Like I tease Gascon about Luke Garza at Iowa, and he's playing great. I mean, he's putting up huge numbers,
right?
But the best kids aren't in college anymore. It's just as simple as that, right?
And it's hard. It's harder to want to pay attention when, just like you said, the best players aren't playing. But I think I blame the NCAA for not bending, for not understanding, Chris. You know, like, you have to, if you don't evolve, you become the dinosaur, right? You do. Right. You have to evolve. You have to understand. These things have been out here for a long time. People talking about the money part and how they're making $6 billion for the NCAA tournament, and the kids can't get a pizza, or they're going to get thrown out of school. Seriously, like lunacy, Chris. So I'm not mad. I blame that the NCAA didn't see this coming and weren't able to adjust.
Well, they just were so arrogant.
Yes. Right,
that they just thought, you know, nothing can touch us.
Do you remember? Here's the other one. Do you remember when they threatened the state of California about the whole likeness thing? You remember? Oh, yeah. What? Are you going to do that? Then maybe none of the games will be played in California. Oh, yeah, really? You're going to tell me that the USC, UCLA, and all the schools, colleges in California not participating in the NCAA? Yeah, right. And then what did they do? As soon as it passed in California, they bent over because they knew they lost the NCAA.
Yep. No, you're right. And here's the other thing, Rob. We just mentioned it. Even if the kid only gets 500 grand or 750,000, whatever, maybe it's a million, man. And I don't know what his family life is like. He might be middle class, upper class for all I know. But whatever, if you're middle class or lower class, you know, socioeconomically, that is a lot of money. I get it. In a year, he'll be in the NBA and it's really going to get huge. But I can't be mad at a family. You know, they're going to give you $500,000.
Chris,
to play
$500,000 put you in the
Come
top
on.
1% of salary.
Yes.
Earned.
Yes.
Hello.
And I don't have to go through the charade of, oh, I'm a student, I'm going to class, you know, whatever. None of that. I can't. Come on, man. It's just a new day, Rob. It's a new day.
It is a new day. Yep. And the NCAA just refused to reopen it and take a look at it and try to figure out what's going to be fair and what would make kids want to be involved. That's all. Coaches are making, Chris, we talked about it before, millions of dollars. They have
from
the sneaker deals with Nike and all that, and the kids are wearing it. The coach got on a pair of shoes, and he has a Nike deal. He ain't even wearing a sneaker.
Right. And they looking at it like, well, the kids are happy because they get free sneakers.
Big
right,
deal.
Free gear. Right.
Right.
Right. But he's getting the $2 million. Come on. It's just, look, it is a new day. And I really, like I said, LaMelo Ball, no college. Ben Simmons, barely any college. Kyrie Irving, barely any college. James Wiseman, 3 games, right? Played 3 games. Looks like he could be a future star, man.
And it didn't stop him from getting where he wanted to go.
Nope. It is, I think this is huge. If this kid, and I guess what really could put the final nail in the coffin is if Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga are indeed high lottery picks. Those are the two of the top kids that didn't go to college and played in the G League this year. And then that'll be it. And if this kid, Imani Bates, goes G League and becomes a star, I think what you'll start seeing, Rob, is maybe even some of these G League games on television somewhere.
Everybody's looking for programming, Chris, and sporting events, because of all the commercial breaks and whatever, are the most sought after spots, because everything else
that's
on television,
live TV,
right? Yeah. Everything else, Chris, you could watch later, right? You know, it's not like the old days where I used to watch Seinfeld on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. Right. It was appointment television. Nobody watches TV like that.
Sports
I watch
is
it
the
when I
only
want.
Appointment TV now.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, like, my wife and I think I told you we were watching this show called Your Honor. Right. And we're watching it like it's new, you know, so it's coming out every week. And we don't like it as much as when we could watch, like, Breaking Bad or something that came out a few years ago where you can binge watch, right? You watch one episode, you still want to watch another one, you watch that, you watch 3, 4, 5 in a row. Whereas when you watch it live, like we're doing with Your Honor, it's you're disappointed. It's like, man, we really want to watch the next episode.
We
got to
wait a whole nother week.
Right,
we're not built like that anymore, right?
Exactly.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I think Steph Curry is the most influential basketball player of the last 30 years because he's given everybody hope that they could play in the NBA.
I'm watching these little kids now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, I've never seen a little kid dribble like that, shoot like that. Yes, I would agree.
Because I can't be like you and I can't be like Mike, but there's a chance I might be able to shoot like Steph.
Yes.
They give us hope. They give us hope.
Steph is still 6'3". All right, people act like he's 5'8". You know, it ain't a lot of people that are even 6'3", Rob. You know that. So, but anyway,
I'm 6'4". People look at me like a monster.
Right.
Right.
When they see you on the plane, they think you played in the NBA, right?
Exactly. I'm 6'4". I don't know what people are acting like he's 5'8".
Right.
He's not 5'8".
Right. So I'm going to let you have at it first, and then I'll go after you.
I just think it's, as usual, like, you get caught up and you want to make this big statement. I'm not buying what Dan Patrick's selling. I don't know how Shaq could co-sign that.
That was surprising.
That was basically Shaq saying to put cottage cheese on pizza or something. I don't even get what that was. Can you eat cottage cheese on pizza?
Yeah, you can eat anything on pizza nowadays.
Well, Rob G., ranch dressing on pizza? Was that what I should have said?
Is that a question, Rob, or is that
they
just a statement?
They do have ranch. I bet you they have ranch dressing pizza,
right,
Rob?
Do they have?
Yeah,
they got pizza with ranch
or buffalo chicken pizza that already has ranch drizzled on it.
That does have. No, that's got blue cheese.
No, it's got ranch drizzled on top of it.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
No, step your game
Rob,
up,
you've
guys.
Never eaten. Look, I eat buffalo chicken pizza. I eat barbecue chicken pizza with like.
That's because you're from the different brands. That's because you're from Iowa, and you didn't grow up in New York with the best pizza on this earth.
Hold on.
All right? We don't do all that.
I'm in Jersey, which is basically suburban New York, and that's where I'm eating the pizza at. So hold on. All you eat is what, cheese and pepperoni or sausage?
Yes, that's it. That's what pizza is, not all this other stuff. They got to put veggies on it, and they got to put pineapple. That's just because they're trying to cover up the taste. In New York, all I need is one big cheese slice and a Diet Coke with extra cheese and a little garlic on the top, and I'm good to go. That's all you need. You guys are living up. You know
look,
what?
No, look, Rob I will G, give you New
Alex,
York pizza is the bomb.
It's the best. Come on, Chris.
I'll
and
give
you're
you
not
that.
Even from
but
New York.
Still,
you
should
know that.
Live a little. You should live a little, man.
Rob
they got
G,
some
when
other
y'all
good
went to
flavors
New York,
out here.
Did you have pizza when
of
you went to New York?
Of course I did.
And is it not the best pizza?
It's pretty good.
It's the best pizza in the country. It's the best pizza in the country.
And it's understated how much grease comes off it. And I know people don't like that kind of stuff. But to me, that's what only adds to the pizza when you pick it up.
But you know what? Have you guys, I imagine, well, have you been to Italy?
I have.
Of course I have.
Okay.
Like
when you go to Italy,
you're
the
only rich
nothing.
Person on this show.
No, the pizza. I can't get real pizza in Italy.
Let's not get gloss over
I'm
this,
in
Chris.
Italy looking for real pizza, and I
Rob,
can't get any.
Why is it that the dark-skinned black dude, you, and the Mexican me, oh, you guys never been to Italy?
Right.
But because like, Chris is light-skinned and he got some money. I know me and Alex have been to Italy before. I don't know about you guys.
Now trying to play the color conflict. You don't know nothing about light-skinned, dark-skinned. Just stop it. All right.
You just assume, hey, Rob
right.
G, that we didn't go to Italy.
Yeah, like we can't be world travelers because of the color of
it
our skin.
It was nothing like that. It was nothing like
Chris,
that.
Chris, anyway. I remember Italy like it was yesterday. That's when I decided to get divorced. We were on our vacation to Italy. So I know.
You might be serious.
I'm
are you serious?
Serious?
Really?
I realized, yeah.
That really?
Yeah. It was then.
On vacation?
Yeah.
What, you wanted to watch a soccer game or something? She wanted to go see the sights?
You said Tiger Woods, wasn't it? You wanted to watch Tiger Woods?
Oh, no. That was the honeymoon.
Right. That was your other one, my bad.
Right. All right, let's get back to this. All right, so
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying influential. And the idea like, oh, because a little kid thinks he can play in the NBA, I just don't think – when you talk about – influential players the last 30 years. How is Michael Jordan not that?
Right, because it goes
I
back
wanna
to
be
1992,
like
Rob.
Yes, and what it changed the NBA, Chris, and I'm not saying the NBA wasn't cool with Magic and Bird and all that other stuff and all these other players and Dr. J, but Michael took it to another level. And you remember the commercials? Everybody Right. A lot of kids wanted to be Michael Jordan. This is not new.
Right. Michael Jordan is the most influential basketball player
absolutely
of the last 30 years. Easily.
And here's the other thing, Chris, real quick. He hasn't played in, 15 years, 18 years, whatever it's been? He still has the number one selling sneaker.
Rob, there are kids that never saw him play in Washington, let alone Chicago, that are standing in line to get his sneakers.
That's what I'm saying.
They destroy everybody's sneaker. LeBron, Steph, KD, Kyrie. They can't hold a candle to what the Jordan sell. And so there's that. But let's get even on the court, Rob. You know this. When Jordan's era birthed, for about two decades, everybody was just focused on hyper-athleticism because of Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Now, Jordan had fundamentals and the athleticism, which is one reason he became the GOAT. But, I mean, you know this, Rob. They were drafting dudes that didn't have great skills, but they were athletic. They could jump through the gym. They were fast and quick. Or it also, remember, a lot of the game became ISO. That was because of Jordan. So it's Steph has changed the game. You know I believe that. But Jordan changed it too when it became heavily ISO ball, a focus, over-focus on athleticism. Because before Jordan, Magic wasn't the most athletic. Bird wasn't the most athletic. You know, it wasn't all about that before Mike. And then after Mike, Rob, I'm going LeBron. And obviously, if we want to get off the court, I mean, beyond all the stuff he's done off the court, but he very well may have influenced our last presidential election. It's very possible he played a huge role in Joe Biden getting elected. I don't know, but I know his more than a vote was huge. It was obvious who he was voting for. That is influence. And then the whole player empowerment that is even starting to spread, at least they're going to try in the NFL. We talked about Brooklyn with Harden going, you know, getting traded there but forcing his way there. And Kyrie and Durant going to Golden State. All of that is coming out of LeBron. Even Kawhi getting Paul George to go to the Clippers. And then even on the court, I'm going to say this. LeBron, I believe, instituted an era of the high-scoring point forward where you had a 6'8"-ish type guy who handled the ball and created the offense not only for himself but for everybody else. Now, you had Scottie Pippen, Paul Pressey before Jordan or before LeBron, but they weren't like huge scorers. But now look at it. Paul George plays that way. Kawhi Leonard kind of plays that way. James Harden, who's more of a point guard, but he plays that way. Giannis, to some degree, plays that way. Luka Doncic plays that way. Like, all of that came out of LeBron. So I got those two ahead of Steph. But I got Steph third, Rob, because I don't want to belittle what he's done. He hadn't done as much as those guys. But he did change the conventional wisdom, which said jump shooting teams can't win championships.
And the other thing, too,
and now that's all we got is jump shooting teams.
Those, Steph loses credit with me because of those Nurse shoes that he put out for Under Armour. Do you remember those, Chris?
Man, some of his shoes ain't bad, though, Rob.
Rob G, the Nurse white Nurse shoes.
I've seen Jordans that aren't as fresh as some of
I've seen people's
Steph
uncles wearing those at cookouts.
UAs.
You know what I'm talking about.
Like the Nike Monarchs.
Rob G cannot get involved in our Steph conversation because he's a bigger hater than Rob P.
I don't hate Steph. What are you saying?
I don't hate Steph.
Y'all both hating.
Hey, I'm surprised.
It's semantics.
Rob, this
dislike strongly.
Chris, I think your list was okay, but what do you guys think about Allen Iverson being up there as well for the most influential?
He was influential. He was. To the
I
culture.
Wouldn't put him right. He brought. Remember, I believe. Now, some people try to say it was Sprewell, but I think it was Iverson was the first player to wear cornrows in the NBA. And I think it was at the 97 All-Star game in Cleveland.
In Cleveland, which I was
remember
at.
That? Yep. Yep. Remember and that? Yep.
And they booed him. Remember, he was in the rookie
sophomore
game. Right.
Everybody thought that was like, oh, my gosh, what is he doing? Like, he's gangster. Rob, you know, cornrows, that's a hairstyle that's been in the black community
Forever.
Literally. Like, go back to Africa. Like, that's a black hairstyle. I remember kids, when I was coming up, getting their hair braided and platted.
Anything.
No,
right.
It's not gangster or none of that. It's just a black hairstyle.
My hair was
but
braided.
He was
I
the first.
Pictures.
Yeah. He was the first that wore it like that in an NBA game, which was, at that time, viewed as revolutionary. And obviously, the whole hip-hop culture, I do think he was very influential. He didn't really change the game or have as much of an influence on the game. But, yeah, culturally, no question about it. No question about it.